out of. Got really sentimental. Then I started going through. She's like, go look through these books and see if you see anything. And I started digging through, and I found just these Bibles. And this one is E.D. Goss, and he preached out of this Bible, and it's just marked up all over the place. And what a treasure it is to me to have. But before I read the scripture, I'm going to read from it. I left there, and I brought in, I found some old cassette tapes of Big Daddy preaching that I've got to find a cassette player now. But to listen to those. And it was yesterday evening, I'm just scrolling through Instagram, and a friend of mine in Oklahoma City had just posted a verse that we all hear, and it's in Hebrews, and it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us put off everything that hinders us, you know, from those things that can trap us, those things that can tell us that we're not enough, those things that can tell us that you're never going to overcome this, whatever. And the thing about that scripture that came alive for me is that since we're surrounded, and, you know, we already know there's no disconnect between us and God, and there's no disconnect between us and love. Nothing can separate you from his love. And because of the love that we share with those who've gone on before us, they're surrounding us. There's no disconnect. It is right there. So I'm going to start off this service. We're in a series called Battles. These songs are anthems that we are overcomers. They are anthems that the battle is already won. Whether it is something you got yourself into, whether it's something that life just threw at you, these songs are anthems. We serve a God who says, you win. We serve a God. So I'm going to read one of my favorite verses. If you can just be patient with me a minute. And this is a translation that I never read from, and I feel like Big Daddy will say, come on, Dusty, there's better translations now. But we're going to read from this one, okay? And it's in Romans 8. The first part of it says this. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Where is it? It's inside of you. The same power. We quote this, we say it, we sing it, we shout it. I say it all the time. Is in you. And it moves on in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmity. For sometimes we don't even know what to pray for. We know we're in this battle. We're in this thing. We're going through this thing. And we don't even know. We're just like, we're just going to be stand still and let God do his thing. But it says that even when we don't know what we should pray, that the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It says, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also predestined. That's you. Who did he foreknow? Every single one of you. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom did he predestine? He also called. I haven't turned pages with one mic in a long time. And who he also called, he justified. And who he justified, he glorified. What shall we say then to such things? If God is for us, and he is, who can be against us? There's not a battle you can't win. There's not a situation you can't get through. There's not an addiction he can't break. There is not an anxiety or a depression he can't strip off of you. There is not a sickness he can't heal. There is not a head he cannot raise up to the skies. He is able to do infinitely, infinitely more than you can ask or imagine. Who can ask and imagine a lot? I can. And he is able to do infinitely more. So I invite you to celebrate, to let these songs rise up in you to be an anthem of praise, to be an anthem of declaration, to be an anthem of the same power that raised him from the dead lives within us, to walk this thing out, to walk it out and to live it. Amen. so fired up and I'm so ready and I'm excited. Brandon, are you ready? All right.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you're trying to feel the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day, the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run from things you know that just ain't right. There's a better life, yeah. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. Hey, he's a pain taker.
This next song is a new one, and it's called Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down. And I want you to think about this song not as a song about eschatology or when you die or anything like that, or an actual grave. I want you to, I am viewing this song immediately as the graves that we can create or that can come upon us by circumstances, something like anxiety, fear, shame, troubled relationships, anxiety, debt, depression, a diagnosis. All of those things can become so heavy and so entangling. And this is an anthem to say, there is no grave going to hold me down. It's not going to hold you down, because we're going to take our grave clothes off. Yeah. Yes. And we are going to walk, yes, in resurrection.
Yes.
And resurrection, I mean, love is resurrection. He is resurrection, and that power is in you and me. And so if there are chains, if there is these grave clothes on you, today we're taking them off.
Yeah.
And we are declaring there's no grave gonna hold us down, no matter what we're going through or what it is. So if you sing it like that, we're not going to worry about the other stuff. We're going to sing it saying, I am going to walk in resurrection. I am
resurrection. So sing it with us. walked out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to. Come on. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to. Amen, amen, woo, amen. Thank you for resurrection.
Amen. This week I had a friend. We were on vacation, and then his six-month-old daughter passed away. And it's probably been something in my brain that's just, I've been hurting by it. And we're talking about battles, and everybody goes through battles. Some battles are not so hard. Some battles are really hard, right? I've just been thinking about his battle and about his daughter. And the anthem that we're about to sing, it says, I am holding on to you in the middle of the storm. It might be a small storm. It might be a hurricane. I picture the storm he's going through is like a hurricane. The one thing we can hold on to is our God. In the middle of all the storms, there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. My prayer for him this morning, my prayer for you this morning, is to just be reminded of who he is.
Yes.
And that in the middle and the midst of whatever it is you're going through, he is with you. There is a purpose and a reason for everything, but God is with us. We don't always understand, but I am holding on to you, Father.
Yes.
We are holding on to you this morning, God. We thank you. We thank you that we can hold on to you, God. We don't have the answers all the time. Sometimes it's harder than others, Father, but we are so thankful that we can hold on to you. And my prayer is that everyone here, everybody watching, holds on to you.
Yes.
No matter what the circumstance. Amen.
Yes, Jesus.
There's no end to amaze.
Church.
This is my resurrection song. This is my hallelujah call. This is why it's to you I run. There's no space that his love can reach. There's no place that we can't find.
God, thank you, Father. Thank you that in the midst of the storm, you're there, Father. We praise you this morning. Amen.
Woo. If you can't preach after that, you ain't got no preach in you. That puts a lot of pressure on you. God is good, isn't he? How often? All the time. We're in a series called Battles, and I hope you're learning that it's a mandate to win. It's not. Let me have Daddy's Bible. I think I'm going to preach with it this morning. That seems like that's the thing to do. And if I just hold it. But battles are inevitable. They come out of nowhere sometimes. Those are the worst ones. How many know the worst battle you can fight is a battle you weren't expecting? All of a sudden, it just came out of nowhere. Jehoshaphat, we started this series with Jehoshaphat, and there are battles you don't have to fight. There are battles I don't have to fight. He fights them for me. As a matter of fact, the way Jehoshaphat won this battle. The Bible says that when these three Ikes came upon him, he was told they were coming from behind, and he didn't know anything about it, and he knew that they were way more than they were, and that he and the Israelites could not overcome that battle. And so Jehoshaphat, the Bible says, I love how it says, and Jehoshaphat was fearful and alarmed. Fearful and alarmed. Sometimes you can't help but to fear. Come on, right? I mean, it's sometimes not only is battles inevitable, fear sometimes is inevitable. It just, you know, if you get a bad report from the doctor, if a disease hits you out of nowhere, then and you weren't expecting it, then yes, fear is going to rise up. And when Jehoshaphat was told, Jehoshaphat, there are three armies, not one army, there are three armies coming against you. They're coming up from behind. They want to take you and all of your loved ones out. And he said he was fearful and he was alarmed. But. I love the good buts. A lot of bad buts, but there's some good buts. And this but said, but he turned and sought the Lord. He turned and he sought the Lord. And the Bible says that they came to him and the prophets began to speak and began to tell Jehoshaphat, you don't have to fight this fight. You don't have to fight this fight. You don't have to fight this fight. What a word. Man, wouldn't you like to have that word every time a battle came out of nowhere and God whispers to you and says, you don't have to fight that fight. That battle's not yours, that battle's mine. I'm going to fight this one all for you. And this is how he fights that battle. When fear's overtaken you, when it's come out of nowhere, this is how you fight that battle. I will praise you, Lord, for you are my God. I will praise you because you are my King. I will lift my heart and my voice and my song to you, and I will confess who I am because of what you have done in my life. I will bless you, O God. And the Bible says that when the singers went out and they began to sing, the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. The Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. That the enemy got all confused and they began to battle each other. And when the enemy was coming in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord was raising up a banner against him, a standard that he could not penetrate. Wow. You don't have to fight this battle. The Bible says the weapons, say weapons, of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural battles. They're not carnal battles. They're not fleshly battles. But our weapons, we do have weapons, but we don't have old covenant weapons. Old covenant weapons was eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You hit me, I hit you back. You take from me, I take from you. You get my kids, I get your kids. You persecute me, I persecute you. You slap me, I slap you back. That's old covenant warfare. How many know it's filled in the old covenant with that warfare? Jesus came along with a brand new strategy for war. Brand new. And his warfare came along like this. Bless those who persecute you. Wow. Turn your cheek to those who slap you. Peter said it this way. Do not return evil for evil, but counterwise, blessing. It's one thing to quote that and hear that, and it's another thing when it hits you in the face. Right? You ever had the enemy? You know, I was told this week, I don't know, I wasn't going to tell this, but I am. I was told this week about some really heavy duty criticism on my life. Heavy duty criticism. Betrayal criticism in my life. And I'm so glad that the weapon of my warfare is not carnal. And it did not faze me. It did not faze me. It did not faze me. Because I had a prophecy over me years ago. I'm going to make your back like a duck's back. And every time criticism comes your way, it's going to be like water just runs off of your back. And I'm not going to fight that battle. Because I don't believe that is who I am. I battled criticism my entire ministry. That's okay. I know who I am. I know whom I have believed in. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm glad that I'm more than a conqueror through him that has loved me. I'm glad that I can never be separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm glad that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am glad that I'm the head and not the tail, and I'm above and not beneath, and I am more than a conqueror through him. I am glad I am who I am. And there are battles of praise, and all you have to do is just praise him anyway. Praise him anyway. Praise him in the storm. Praise him through the persecution. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. That's the greatest weapon you have in your arsenal is worship and praise. It's the greatest weapon you have. It's better than any other thing. And it's so fun to bless enemies. It just tears them up. They don't know what to do with that. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with love? What are you going to do with mercy? What are you going to do with I'm not coming back at you? You can come on all you want, and I'm not. Aren't you glad Jesus decided not to fight the battle of the cross? He chose not to fight the battle, and he won the war. Didn't fight one battle, and he won the war. Could he? He said himself, put that sword away, Peter. Peter still hadn't gotten the new covenant warfare in yet. They come to get Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter pulled out a sword and cut off a man's ear. that was the Peter of the hadn't quite got where he was going yet. the same Peter that whacked off a guy's ear is the same Peter says, don't return evil for evil. He wasn't always that way, Joy. He wasn't always the Peter that said, do not return evil for evil. He was a Peter who had a sword. And he cut off a man's ear. And Jesus reached down and picked up the ear, put it back on the man, and healed him. And said, Peter, put away your sword. He that lives by the sword will die by the sword. This is not my kingdom warfare. My kingdom's not of this world. And we don't fight like that. We don't fight like that. We return good for evil. We return blessing for persecution. Wow. We return love for hate. Really? Really? Does it really work? I'm still here. It works. It works. Because it's a spiritual battle that we're in. We're not fighting flesh and blood. Paul said, we're not fighting flesh. Isn't it amazing that all of our battles, 99% of our battles is with flesh and blood? And Paul said, don't fight flesh and blood battles. We fight against principalities of the air. We fight against wickedness in high and heavenly places. We fight the spirit of this world. And he said, when you come, I put you on this earth for a reason. I put you on this earth to join an army. Hello. I put you on this earth to join an army. And it's the army of the Lord. And you're put here on this earth to defeat evil and to defeat all that is wicked. And you're here to win battles so that the earth can be filled with the glory of the Lord. That's why we're put here on this earth. Because he wants an army. And he says, put on the whole armor of God. When I was a little boy in Sunday school, let me tell you, this is not a flannel board message. Most of you are going, what is a flannel board? Anna, do you know what a flannel board is? Nope. When I was a little boy in Sunday school, we had the flannel boards. Remember the flannel boards? You don't remember flannel boards either? Joy, you remember flannel boards. Oh, yeah. I mean, you couldn't teach a Sunday school class without a flannel board. And so a flannel board is this felt board that you would stick things on, and it would hold, kind of like Velcro today. And so they have this picture of this man, and they'd take the helmet of salvation, and they'd put it on top of his head. Said, this is the helmet of salvation. It's not a flannel. He didn't put you here to join some sweet country club that doesn't know what's going on in the world. He put you here to join up with an army of other people, and to put, your armor and armor connect to them and make you a part of the army of the Lord. That's what he's got you here on this earth for. And if you're not part of an army of the Lord, you need to be a part of the army of the Lord. And the helmet of salvation is not a flannel board. It's a real helmet. Watch how you think. Watch what goes in here, because what goes in is coming out. Be careful what you think. If what you think is everything, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's everything. Take the shield of faith. I got to say this again about that the shield of faith is. Listen, the shield of faith is not what you believe in. That's not the shield of faith that he says take. The shield of faith is the faith of what you're not going to believe in. I'm going to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Every lie he flings my way, every thought he flings my way, my shield of faith will say, I am not going to believe that. I choose to believe this. That's the shield of faith. Hallelujah. It's just as important what you don't believe in as what you do believe in. It may be more important what you don't believe in, because what you don't need to believe in is just going to strengthen what you do believe in. Quench all the fiery darts. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And listen, if there's no armor for your back, if you turn and run, you're going to die. No armor in the back. It's all up here. It's all right here. He said, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Be right with God and be right with one another. Get somebody got something against you, straighten it out. If you bring your gift to the altar and you know somebody's got an offense against you, go straighten it out. Be at peace. What if they won't accept it? Well, Paul had an answer for that too. Just be at peace as much as lies within you. Now, I've tried to make peace with some people, and they just wouldn't do it. But I did my part. I did all I could do to make peace, and that's all you can do. All right? Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Be in right standing with God, and be in right standing with people. Have your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Carry peace where you go. Yeah. You know, the person who's talking to you about another person will talk about you too. They'll talk about you. That's how it sounds, just like Daddy. That's how he would do it. That's exactly how he would do it. They'll talk about you. You talk, if, what they'll do the same thing. And he said, and have your loins girded about with truth. I'm going to tell you what truth is in a moment. I'm going to tell you how important this. See, when they had all the armor on, the loins girded it all up. And, yeah, and you were ready to fight. That's important. Jehoshaphat, a few chapters before the great victory, Ahab, the king of the northern kingdom, Jehoshaphat's king of the southern kingdom, Ahab comes to him and says, won't you go to war with me? I got to take revenge on some enemies. And Jehoshaphat said, okay. He wished later he had never said okay in that battle. But Ahab wants revenge. So he goes to get revenge. And in the battle, the Bible says, and here's what Ahab does. Ahab says to Jehoshaphat, "You put on my kingly robes." So, see, kings, when they went to war, most of them would not put on their kingly robes because that's who they're coming after. So Jehoshaphat puts on the kingly robe, almost loses his life. They do win the battle eventually, but while the enemy is retreating, there is a soldier who just turns around with an arrow and randomly just shoots it up in the air, and it goes into the Israeli army, and Ahab is standing there, and it goes right into the place that the buckle should have been buckled. And he died. True. It's not to hear the word only. It's to receive and accept the word. To do both. You see, hearing is part, but it's just the first part. Because I don't only have to hear it, I got to believe it. I got to believe it. And I got to accept it. I think I defined acceptance. Acceptance is receive with consent, give admittance to. It's like a confession. You know, most people think confession of sin is this: God, I am so, so sorry I got caught. That's what you're saying. That's what most confession is. The kid with the hand in the cookie jar gets reprimanded by mama or daddy. He's not repentant because of the cookie. He's repentant because he got caught. When the Bible says confess your sins, this is what confession of sin is. Wow, God, you are right. That is not good for me. I am going to agree with your confession about this. That is not good for me. That's confession. It's when you see how harmful it is. I mean, no, God didn't want you to behave yourself because he wants good kids. He don't want... Now, our kids embarrass us. You know, we want our kids to behave because they embarrass us, right? Come on, you know it's true. You want your kids to behave because they're an embarrassment. You can't embarrass God. You can't embarrass him. He loves all of his creation. His love fills every space. Isn't that what we just sang? His love is everywhere. So he sees all of his kids as good kids. He don't have any bad kids. He didn't see any bad kids. He sees all good, wholesome kids. He doesn't want you to behave for him. It's for us. Even Moses said in the Old Covenant, all of these things that he's given us are for our good, not his. Not his, it's for us. It's for us. It's for us. Hallelujah. Battles you don't have to fight. Battles that you just stand still. Why? Because there ain't nothing you can do. Don't try to fight a battle you can't do anything about. Moses said, God, what are we going to do? Egypt's behind us, the seas in front of us, the mountains of us. There's nowhere to go. Why did you bring us out here? You bring us out here to die? Wasn't there graves in Egypt? God says, get up, Moses. I love it when God stops people from praying. He does. He'll stop you in your trial. He stopped me. I'll be praying for something and said, for real? For real, you asking for that? You already have that? And you're asking for that? And he tells Moses, get up, stop whining, and stretch forth your rod and tell the people to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Just stand still. Wow. Ain't God good? Then there are giants that come my way sometime. Those are battles you have to fight because you let them grow up to be giants. They didn't come here as giants. Goliath wasn't born 9 feet tall. He was born a little bitty baby. Just a little bitty baby. And he grew. And somebody kept feeding that thing. Kept feeding that giant. And that giant went from a bottle with a breast and from milk. And he started eating a lot. But somebody was poking that food down him, and he got to be big. You keep feeding your giants, they get big. That's good stuff right there. That's right, hot off the press. If you feed them, they grow. You feed them, they grow. But I want to tell you how to defeat them. Colossians chapter 1. How you defeat and win all of your battles is right here. That you know who you are. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemy, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. And you are holy and you are blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. I come out of who I am. I am not trying to become anything. I'm already there. I am not trying to be righteous. I'm already righteous. I'm not trying to be blameless. I'm already blameless. I am who I am. And that's how I win my battles. I know who I am. And guilt and condemnation and shame has no place, no right in my life. I know who I am. I know who I am. You know why Adam and Eve lost the battle in the garden? You know, don't you? As soon as I say it, you know. Because Eve believed that she wasn't who God said she was. Adam believed he wasn't who God says he is. He already said, I have created you in my likeness and in my image. You are like me. And the lie of the serpent was, he's holding back something. He knows if you partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will be like him. And they already were. Already were. I want to read this passage of scripture to you in closing. And it's coming from the man who wrote most of the New Covenant. Comes from a man that said, I'm the least of all of the apostles. He said, I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. I'm not worthy because I persecuted the church that he died for. He would go and haul Christians to be fed to lions, to be crucified. He was there when Stephen was being stoned to death. Paul was standing there holding his coat, consenting unto his death. As they hurled stones and killed Stephen, Saul at that time, was agreeing with that, consenting to that. And he thought he was doing God's will. He thought he was doing God's will. There are a lot of people today who think hurling stones is God's will. They still think it's God's will to throw stones. Still do. And I want you to see something in this passage of Scripture. I want you to see a man. I want you to see a man who truly had a Damascus Road experience, truly had a heart-to-heart talk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It changed him forever. Changed him so much that what he saw himself doing, he denied certain privileges. I believe part of the reason he denied certain privileges was because he wanted to show God just how sincere he is about it. The man who wrote Amazing Grace, he was, if I told you his situation, it would gross you out. If I told you what he would do, it would gross you out. But when he got converted, he spent the rest of his life, every single day, in a monastery, cleaning the floors on his knees every single day. Because he's saved by works? No. Because he's saved by gratitude. He was so grateful and thankful to God for what he did for him. He said, I will do this for you the rest of my life. Wow. I can't tell you the moments I have where I just have to say, God, thank you. Where would I be without you? This ignorant young man who annihilated the English language, who was an F straight student in school, who barely made it out by the skin of his chinny chin chin, literally, that God says one Sunday night, I'm going to get him back. And my brother comes down to the trailer Barbara and I living in. He never went to church, but when he did, he thought everybody ought to go. And he begged me to go to church that Sunday night. I said, Eddie, I'm drinking a beer, and I don't want to go to church. I'm tired. And he begged me for, I know, what, 30, 40 minutes, wasn't it, Barbara? I said, I can't tell you what I said. But I cursed and said, all right, I'll go. Just shut you up, I'll go. And this woman singing this song, Jesus, Use Me, and it was the most horrible sounding voice I've ever heard in my life. If I could mimic it, some of you heard this story, but it bears retelling. It went something like this. Hope she's not watching. I can't mimic that. I shouldn't. Anyway, I told that story to my congregation on High Falls Road. True story. I told that story how I came back to the Lord. I came to the altar crying my eyeballs out, because the Holy Spirit was just working on me. And I went to the altar. She came to our service about literally 3 weeks later. True story. I'm sitting up on the podium. And she asked me before, she said, do you mind if I sing? And, you know, I have a hard time saying no, period. But back then, I never said no. Can I shoot firecrackers in the service? Sure, go ahead, pop them off. You know, I said, yeah. But she gets up, and I was hoping she's just going to sing and get this over with. Okay? And before she sings, she says, I want you to know, I was singing when your pastor came back to the Lord. He came to the altar while I was singing this song. And I'm sitting up there going, oh, God, if there's a rapture, do it now. Do it. Do it now. If you ever, ever gave me mercy, do it now. Take me to heaven now. Just take me on. And the congregations out there, and they were like. And after it was over, though, true story. Congregation coming to me one after another. We know you for real. We know God got a hold of your life because that song didn't do it. We know for real, you had an encounter with God. In that moment, my life changed forever. But I wasn't ready and didn't want any part of the ministry. As a matter of fact, some people would tell me sometimes, you know, God's called you. I said, no, God's called my brother. How do you tell me? That's crazy. But I said, no, Eddie's the one, not me. God's going to call him, not me. And I was in an old-fashioned camp meeting, tent revival. And I'm at the altar. And this prophet's going down, and he's prophesying over everybody. And he, man, he's giving these people wonderful words, just encouraging them. And I'm thinking, I thank God, I don't think I'm going to like this. And he walks down, looks straight at me, says, you know what God's called you to do, do it. And walked off. I said, wow. And me and God, I said, God, you know how ignorant I am. I did. These are my words. You know how ignorant I am. And then one of the, I love this, that's what Paul kind of shut me down. He says he takes the foolish things and confounds the wise. I said, well, I'm in. So Apostle Paul says the good news has been preached all over the world, and now Paul had been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. On to do. We got more? Is there more to it than that? Is that all I gave y'all? I got to give you this. By the way, the next series we do is going to be out of Colossians. And the name of it's going to be Colossal Colossians. No, not that one. We'll get to that one in a minute. Say Colossal Colossians. You know what I like about that? See, Goliath grew up, right? He was a baby. Jesus did too. Baby in the manger grew up too. As a matter of fact, next time you see him is in Revelation chapter 20. He's on a great white horse. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And on his thigh, name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said, "What? It's good news. You are far off your enemy, separated by your thoughts, yet now has brought you into his own." This is not, it was, back to the other one. You're right. My bad, Mike. My bad. Yeah. Yeah, this is it. Okay. Back to, don't you realize that those who work, this is the Apostle Paul, don't you realize that those who serve at the altar get a share of the sacrificial offerings? In other words, don't you know that they that minister spiritual things get paid for it? You get paid for it. The Apostle Paul never took a penny. Out of gratitude for what God had done, he said, in the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. Yet, I have never used any of these rights. I'm not writing this to suggest that I want to start now. In fact, I'd rather die than lose my right to boast about preaching without charge. In other words, this is my privilege. This is my privilege to do. And then he goes on. And he says, yet preaching the good news is not something I can boast about because I'm compelled by God to do it. How terrible for me if I didn't preach the good news. If I were doing this on my own initiative, I would deserve payment. But I have no choice, for God has given me this sacred trust. What then is my pay? It's the opportunity to preach the good news without charging anyone. That's why I never demand my rights when I preach the good news. Even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring Jews to Christ. When I was with those who followed the Jewish law, I lived under the law, even though I'm not subject to it. I did this so I could bring Christ to those who are under the law. When I'm with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I live apart from the law that I can bring them to Christ. I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness. For I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone. Wow, wish the political world would wake up and do that. Hallelujah, glory to God. Wow. Where am I at? I do everything to spread the good news. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize, so run to win. All athletes are disciplined in training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself would be disqualified. Anna, come to the keyboard. This is why. Get this now. This is why it's a mandate to win battles. This is why it's a mandate to win battles. Because the winning of the battles is not for you. It's not for you. The battles you win are for everybody else. It's for your children. It's for your grandchildren. It's for your great-grandchildren. It's for your posterity. It's for other people. Paul said, I'm not fighting to win the battle for myself. I'm fighting so that you can be an overcomer too. Yeah, that you can be an overcomer too. When I told that young man in the jail the other week, he'd lost everything. He's losing his family. I said, do you see what you have to gain? Get your family back. Get your children back. It's always for other people. Always for other people. Let me tell you why I'm here today. Why I'm right here this moment. I'm telling you exactly why I'm here today. And I am not teasing. I am not kidding. Because of you. Because of you. Because some battles I won in the past was because I didn't want to disappoint you. I didn't want to hurt you. And you talking about something that will give you energy to win? It's for other people. The victory's for other people. That's why you need to be a part of a church. You need to be a part of an army. Because here you get the full measure of Christ. You get the full measure of grace. You get the full measure of the Spirit. Because all of us carry a little portion of it. None of us have it all. You have a measure of grace that I don't have. But together, we come together in it. And the accountability of it, it's there all the time. And we're together in it. And so, some people think they don't need church. And you know what? They're right. I don't need this. You do. When I turn it around, I'm here because we need each other. We need each other. And you need to be a part of a body where you can hear the word, absorb the word, and live the word, and fight with the word, and your faith be increased, and your mercy increased, and your grace increased. Because when you get out in this world, you're going to get a little filthy. And once you come here, you get a little cleansed. You get your feet washed. Every Sunday, you get your feet washed. I want you to stand with me. There used to be an old song. And Randall, your mother-in-law, Karen's mother, used to sing this song years ago, and you probably remember it. But sing this song. And every time she would get to this phrase, I just pricked my heart. It's a simple little phrase. But the song says, after everything is said and done, after all the battles have been won, after everything's come my way, I'm not going to lay this armor down. I'm not going to lay this armor down. I'm not going to lay this armor down. If you're here this morning and you want to make a commitment to this army, I'm not talking about a commitment to Eagles Way Church. I'm not talking about a commitment to join up. I'm talking about a commitment to the army of the Lord. And you want to make that commitment. Starting today, you want to make a decision. I want to fight in this battle. I want to join this army. I want to put on this armor. I want to stop losing and start winning. I want to be a winner. Would you be brave enough to step out and come and just stand across the front and say, I hear you. I hear what the word is saying, and I am going to choose today. I have not been putting my armor on. I have not been doing what Paul said, but I want to start today knowing I'm going to put this armor on, and I'm going to keep it on, and I'm going to live by the principles of spiritual warfare. Would you be willing to join that army? Would you come and stand right here and say, I'm joining up? I'm signing on the dotted line? He did that for me. I do this for him. I want to be a part. I don't want to lay my armor down anymore. Some of you have laid it down. You know you have. But today you can pick it up. Today you can pick it. Today you can make a confession of faith. I'm picking my armor up. I'm not asking you to be saved. You're already saved. I'm sure you are. You wouldn't be here if you didn't believe in God. You wouldn't be here. I love the movie, The Count of Monte Cristo, when the priest said to him in prison, he said, I don't believe in God. And the priest said, that's okay. He believes in you. He believes in you. You see, God believes in us when we don't believe in ourselves. He believes in us. Would you come stand right here, darling? Who else is going to join her? You know you've laid that armor down. You want to pick it back up. Come on. Come on. I want to get this armor up. I want to pick it up. I want to put it on. There's a war out there. There's a war out there, church. How many know that? It's a war zone. We're called to win. We're called to put on the armor. So today, Father, I choose to take my helmet of salvation. I choose to think the way you want me to think. I choose, Lord, to have my mind saturated and soaked with the word of the living God. I choose the shield of faith. I choose what I'm not going to believe, the lies that come my way at times. I'm going to choose not to believe the lies of the enemy. I choose to be at peace. As much as lies within me, I choose to be at peace with everybody I come in contact with. I choose to be a peace-making person. I choose truth over lies. I choose to be a part of the army of the Lord. Of the army of the Lord. Amen. I want you to look at me for a moment and get this down good, okay? Get this. I already said he didn't give you no armor for your back. We know that, don't we? No armor in the back. You're sure to die if you run. You're sure to get killed if you run, because there's no armor back there. When Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Peter says, thou art the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And he said, Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter, but the Father in heaven. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, now watch this, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What is that saying? We are on the offense, not the defense. What did Jesus do when he came out of the tomb? Before he came out of the tomb, you know what Jesus did? Knocked on hell's door. Gates of hell are not going to prevail against his church. So he goes to hell and he's knocking on the door, as it were. And Satan and them, they're really rejoicing because they think they have won the victory. They think we have won this victory. And Jesus walks right into hell, says, give them to me. Give me the keys to death. Give me the keys to hell. Give me the keys now. They're not yours, they're mine. And they belong to my children. And the gates of hell could not prevail against. And no enemy formed against you can prosper. You are more than a conqueror. Every battle that comes your way for victory. Every time the enemy comes your way, it is to make you stronger. All things that come your way are for you, not to you. What's happening in your life is not happening to you, it's happening for you. And if you will see and believe that all things work together for good to them who love God and them that are called according to your purpose. For them he called, he justified. And them he justified, he glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not then by him freely give us all things? We are more than a conqueror through him that has loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor demons, nor angels, nor anything can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Seated for just a second. Our ushers will be preparing to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. And your bulletin was your connection card. Hope you filled that out for us. That's the way that you are able to sign up for lots of things that are available to do around here. We also have two tables in the back, round tables. If you were not here last Sunday to hear about those have different ministries that we are in need of volunteers. And so if you are interested in you can read the information that is on there, anywhere from a work day to Doc Holliday coming up. I will mention with Doc Holliday, the ladies' ministry is in need of a portable air conditioner, a window unit, for about 24 hours. And so if you have one that you can loan us for that time, it will make preparing some food much more pleasant. So, but lots of things happening with all of that. Make sure that you read the information that is in your bulletin. The ladies' ministry is also doing a fundraiser. Some of you saw the green egg that is out there. Over half the tickets have been sold. We're only selling 125 tickets. It's $20 a ticket. And they need 10 people to stop by there and pick up 5 tickets to sell. You don't have to buy all 5 of them. Just go sell those 5. If that happens, then all of the tickets will get sold. Okay? Pretty easy, huh? Pretty awesome. If you want to help the youth at the Doc Holliday Festival on Saturday morning, they're going to be selling the People's Choice Barbecue plates. It's going to be awesome. We're moved to the city park. We have 55 barbecue teams and 35 steak cooking teams. Two different contests. Pretty big deal. Also, there's going to be a 400-foot portable zip line in case you want to come out and have a big time. Mom says she's going to do it. I believe she will. It'll be scary, but it'll be great. Your giving is making a difference. Yeah. Whether it's time, yeah. Whether it's talent, whether it's funds, We left the alms box down here this morning. I know I talked about it last week, and you gave, and the funds that were put in the box last week went to the soup kitchen, the gentleman, Mr. Lewis Brewer, that was here. But we continue to give to people that are in time of need. And you are touching people's lives with your gifts, your talents, and your time. So stand, and we're going to worship. And if you want to come and give here, you can do that. And then you can stop by the ladies' booth on the way out.
Space that his love can reach. There's